Well, thank you so much, Paul and Joanne. That reminds me of so many good years, and it reminds me specifically of nights spent singing to my girls, trying to help them get to sleep. And two great songs, Jesus Loves Me and Jesus Loves the Little Children, which just remind us of the basic truth of the gospel and Christ's love for us and how very thankful we should be for all of that. Pastor Wes is not with us today because he's on the last week of his study leave for the year. And so you'll notice in your bulletin for a sermon title, it says a surprise from Scripture. Did you see that? Don't worry, it's not going to be a big surprise from Scripture. But I am going to, at this time, invite the other four elders of the church, if they would, to come forward and join me up here on the platform. Now, in fairness to these guys, they didn't know until just before the start of the service that I was going to invite them up. Now, therein, you want to take the center seat, Ted? I'm sorry. See, I didn't even tell him what seat to take. Therein lies the surprise. We're going to experiment with something here today. And what this is really going to be is a participatory sermon, in a way. Okay. Now, we have before had occasions where we've done something like a witness stand up front. And that's not really what this is in the same sense. Witness stands, for the most part, are biographical. You know, someone would be invited up and talk about their life experience and their coming to know Christ, their testimony. What I'm actually going to do today is open up a passage of Scripture, which they also didn't know about until just a few minutes before the start of the service. And I'm going to talk through the passage of Scripture with you all, including them, and then I'm going to provide for them opportunities to participate with me and interact on the passage. And that's just a little bit different from what we would typically do in a sermon. A sermon is usually just a very one-sided thing where a speaker is going to just talk to you about his own thoughts, and these guys are going to be able to just contribute, give some points of application, correct me on points if they think I'm way off on something, they can feel free to say so, Bob. And today's sermon is rooted in Ephesians chapter 5, and what I'd like to do as we get started is just read to you Ephesians chapter 5, and then we will settle in on the specific verses which the Lord has placed upon my heart to focus on. So I'm going to read to you as we get started verses 1 through 21. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful for this word, and I just pray now, Father, that as we look at it together, that you will open our minds and hearts, help us to see the truth of your word, and help us to be guided by your Holy Spirit into not only that truth, but how we should then live. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the key portion of that passage that we want to look at today is on the screen, and that is Ephesians 5, 15, and 16. And it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Now, in recent weeks, I did a benediction where I had read a portion of Scripture from the book of 2 Timothy, and it described some of the awful things that are going on in the world in the days and days to come, some of the sinful things that are going on. And I had a brother in Christ come up to me after the service, and he kind of smiled and shook his head, and he said, "Whew." He said, "That just reminds me so much, unfortunately, of what we see in our political world around us." And it is true when we look at Scripture talking about the fact that we live in times when the days are evil, we're reminded that so much of what we're surrounded by is not the things that would be of God, but it's the things that are the result of sin in the world around us. Fortunately, we're given guidance, and we're given the comfort of knowing that it's not new to us. It's very, very tempting for us to look at life, the world around us, and believe that what we're seeing is brand new evil and bad times, the likes which have never been seen before. But realize that this was about 2,000 years ago when Paul said, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Paul was surrounded by stuff which struck him as nothing other than evil. We know that Paul was a careful student of the word. We know that essentially he was a trained student in Judaism, and he understood the Old Testament and Old Testament times better than many would have. And for that reason, we also know that Paul was very familiar with the fact that in days gone by, the Jewish people had also seen profound evil. He's not in this case saying, "Hey, sit up and notice something new. The days have all of a sudden become evil." He's reminding the believers, in this case, Ephesus and the other churches that would receive this letter, reminding the believers that when you look about you, the days are evil. This is not new. This is not going to change. We live in a world that is surrounded by all the markings of sin. In this chapter, what he begins by saying is, "But not us." This is not the type of stuff that believers should be involved with. He delineates sin, as I just read in chapter 5. And he says, "But among you there should not even be a hint of such things." He juxtaposes what's going on in the world against what should be going on in the body of Christ. And he doesn't make a lot of exceptions. He juxtaposes wisdom against foolishness. He juxtaposes light against darkness. And at this point is where he's saying, be very careful then how you live. So I want to ask the guys to be thinking at this point, be very careful then how you live. Is that the way we think of or like to think of Christianity? Do we want to think of Christianity as being the kind of thing where we have to be very careful about how we live? And as we cross that bridge of thought and we think about that command to be very careful about how we live, what types of experiences that you've had in life perhaps recently would remind you of that need to be very careful of how we live, and to not live as people who are unwise, but as people who are wise? Anybody have anything they'd like to share? See, the beauty of this is there's four of them. I told them all before the service, I said, you don't have to say anything. I said, just come up and be on the platform with me. I said, I'll make the mic available to you so that you can say something if you'd like. And I know that every one of the four of them is thinking, I'll be the one that doesn't say anything.
I have to bail my brother out. Right now, I'm a school teacher. Is that Mrs. Sun?
I thought it's on.
It's got a green light on it. It must be on. Right now, I'm a school teacher. And as part of that, you need to be careful how you live. There's a lot of concern that the way you approach students be one that, in fact, cannot be a basis for any accusation. So this is part of the life that I live professionally at this point. The other side of that is that, as I mentioned to, well, we were asked earlier this year to write down on a piece of paper, why are you here? And one of the things I put down was to minister to the students. And that's truly why I think I'm there, to be able to show the grace of God to the students, to be able to reach out to some in particular. I was approached last night or two nights ago at parent night by a parent who turns out to be a believer who is concerned about his son. And so there's a student that I have an opening to reach out to in a way that's a little different than many of the other students, because I know where he's coming from. And as I minister to try to meet the needs that his father sees, I may also have a chance to truly and explicitly minister the grace of God. So I live in a world where I have to be very careful, both professionally and also as a believer, not to give any cause for accusation. And yet at the same time, where my calling as a believer is to make connections with these young people that hopefully can be something which will change their lives. That same evening, I had a student come back to see me that I had spent many hours after school with her and her boyfriend while they were working on problems, talking about things, about relationships, not only relationships between people, but also with God. And she came back to say hi, to let me know that what I said had been important to her. So it's a balancing act, both maintaining the professional standards which I'm asked to maintain, but also that if I'm not ministering the grace of God to them in some way, I'm wasting my time and the Lord's.
You know, I too work in the schools, and you know, a little different approach. You know, I see those days as I actually have a growth group lesson today, looking at some stuff from Amos, and you know, looking back, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and there are a lot of crazy things that happened during those times as well, and you know, you look at it evil, but You know, a lot of my day is I'm a phys ed teacher, so I have a lot in an elementary school. So I hear a lot of things from little kids, and they tell you anything. But you have an opportunity to minister to them in so many ways of comforting, because they also tell you about the brokenness in their lives a lot of times. And just being there. Now, I also coach in high school and junior high, and one of the sports I coach is football, which tends to be a little bit violent and tends to bring out a lot of emotions from a lot of kids. But yet there's a lot of good qualities that come out of those things. And I worked on a group called Fellowship of Christian Athletes the last couple of years, working with some coaches who are in this area, who are coaching kids and working with families. And they're believers. And, you know, as much as we're using, sport as a venue for getting the gospel out. As Steve opened up in Ephesians today, I think of earlier in that song, I grew up a Lutheran background, so there's Martin Luther. And so you go to Ephesians 2, where it's talking about for grace you have been saved through faith. And, people need to hear that. It's grace they've been saved, through their faith. And it's not works. And it's humbling things. And I look at the words of Christ just talking about, he is the head. We are the body and we're a part of that body. And to bring him glory, we need to be a part of that body. And it's the things we do when we walk out here, the things we do when we're in our professions, the things we do in our neighborhoods. So as evil as the world is, and at this time, or crazy as it is, it was very crazy back in my growing up times, and I'm sure in past generations as well. So each opportunity we have, it's a great opportunity. Every day is a great opportunity. And a friend of mine once said, encounters today are God's encounters. And seeing those things as that, as opposed to the negative part, as kept me encouraged in looking at those days as how we live each day.
I don't want to take up all your time, Steve, so okay. I'll try to be more brief. I'd appreciate Bob and Ted. You guys covered a lot of territory there. I also have things that I'm involved with outside the church, and there are a lot of opportunities to meet with people who aren't Christians, and this is our opportunity to be light to them, to show them the way that God loves us, the way that God loves them. And I've had a few of these opportunities. They don't always go as far as I would like them to go, but they do come up. And so when we read this scripture and we see that there are opportunities, we do need to grab them, because you never know where that opportunity might lead. I'll just give you two quick stories. In my professional life with IBM, I'm working with a team of people now. Three of them are based in Salt Lake City, Utah. Anybody know what Salt Lake City? Home of the Mormons, right? So these are three guys who are very smart. They are very sure of themselves. One of them is my age. The other two are much younger. They have all left the Mormon church for two reasons. One, because they got tired of all the work that they thought they were having to put in. And as a result of that, they believed that their faith was the Christian faith. So they're in a position now where they think they have rejected Christianity completely. What they don't realize is that they've rejected Mormonism and not Christianity. So with Bruce Potter and I being on the same team with these guys, we have an opportunity to show these guys that we love them, that God loves them, and that it's different from what they have been taught in the past. And it's going to take a long time. This could take years for us to get through to these guys, but every opportunity we get an opportunity to express why we behave the way we do. Why is it that on phone calls, Bruce and I are never using foul language, and they are? And they come forward and they ask, how come you guys are so clean? Right? Well, we're Christians, right? And then we get into this whole thing about Mormons. So this is going to take a long time, but it's an opportunity that I see that's going to give us a chance to minister to these guys. The other thing I'm doing, I just started it this year. Some of you know my daughter plays softball. We started a new organization, a new nonprofit organization, of which I'm the president, and we have three teams. We have three girls' fast pitch softball teams, which means we have at least six coaches, and we have a whole ton of parents and girls. These are 16U and 18U girls. And guess what? There's a lot of conflict that can pop up from time to time, right? So, you know, parent doesn't like the coach, kid doesn't like the coach, coach said something, girl interpreted it a different way. You know, there's a lot of opportunity here. I've had multiple occasions, and I'm glad I took the opportunity when it came up, to try to coach the coaches on relationships. I mean, these guys, they know the game. They understand the nuances of the game in many ways, some ways better than I do. But what I can give them is a way to create relationships between themselves and the parents, or the girls and the parents. And I do that by modeling Christ to them. I have pulled them aside. I have given them, on occasion when it was necessary, a stern warning that we see from Scripture from time to time. But I do it in a loving way, and I do it in a way that reinforces, you know, how important they are as a particular person, right? They know that I'm a Christian. I have not yet had the opportunity to actually share the gospel with one of them. I am still in the throes of conversation with these guys, but it's an opportunity to demonstrate and model the love that Christ has for us in a very specific and tangible way. When there is a conflict in place, when tensions are running high and emotions are difficult to deal with, it's that calming influence that the Spirit within me has just done some amazing work. I have grown personally as a result of these interactions as well. And I think, you know, when we see the Scripture, take the opportunity because the days are evil. One of the reasons the days are evil is because they're short, because they're specifically defined lengths of time, and they're going to be gone, right? They are not going to be with us forever. So when they're here, use them and get to the next thing God has for you.
Awesome.
When Steve captured me before I walked in today to tell me about this.
Literally, right at the door of his car, he started opening the door, and I just grabbed him.
And he said it was going to focus on, you know, Ephesians 5, 15 to 16, which, you know, I've been looking at here as I'm listening to everybody else share. But the part of this verse, as probably most of you would think I would, you know, highlight the most here, it's making the most of every opportunity. And the part about being wise here is that, there's two things here. One is when I've challenged all of us to go out and serve in the community, none of the opportunities or anything I ever really dreamed up or, you know, had a plan a long time ahead. And in fact, a few of them, I think I read about in the newspaper, and I said, you know, Grace Church could do this. Is this possible? And so it's really just, I mean, for me, the wisdom is recognizing an opportunity to go out and serve in the name of Christ that indeed we really could do. And there's more opportunities than we can possibly do. So it's, you know, taking the opportunities as they seem to come, as God might open a door for us to, you know, jump in. And so, you know, whether it's been painting houses for Habitat for Humanity, whether it's been helping to build a playground at Forsyth Park, whether it's, you know, and I've heard of other opportunities that I haven't been part of, but I think in many respects, the great thing about taking those opportunities is one of the things I found out is that a lot of people in our local community have no idea where Grace Church is, who Grace Church is, except now they've met some people from Grace Church, so now they know. And the only reason they know is because we're there. We're on their turf, you know, and I think it opens those doors. And the most recent Habitat for Humanity painting project that we did, the interesting thing about that was I was actually meeting with a friend of mine, a tennis friend, about trying to do something, and in our conversation, unrelated to what we were really talking about, I just mentioned the Habitat for Humanity project that we were doing as a church. He said, you know, I really want to be part of that. You know, and the thing that I always find true about stepping out into the unknown is that there are surprises that you just don't know are going to happen. And so he actually came and joined us for that, for the day. He met probably about 10 to 15 people at Grace Church. He happens to live here in Lake Katrine. And he's someone I continue to, you know, kind of reach out to. And so, you know, I don't know that he's going to be ever part of our local community or not, but I think of those opportunities. I've even was reminded, you know, Steve, and when you preached here, I'm trying to remember when it was, back in August, September?
September 4th.
September, yeah. And, you know, Steve reminded me of something I totally forgot. You know, when we built this church, you know, it wasn't for me. It wasn't for us, really. And, you know, and I see some of the empty pews. He even mentioned that in the sermon. And by the way, I wasn't even here that day for the sermon, so I had to access it online. And I was like, you know, listening to it, and I was like really gripped by a few things there. But the thing that gripped me the most was something that we did as a church family, because we were really building this for the opportunities of what we thought God was going to do through us to reach out to people. And I know over at the fellowship hall, room number, which you should all have that down by now, in the frame of that door is the name of someone I wrote down. And it reminded me of that person. And I've specifically since then called that person a few times to continue. I forgot. You know, I wasn't wise. And it kind of made me get back on track to what we built this building for. And so it's making, you know, the most of those opportunities. I remember standing in the foyer during the calling hours for Madison Cregan. I mean, a very, very sad time. And I saw hundreds and hundreds of people. And, you know, there was a number floated. I thought it was in the thousands. I never saw this parking lot so continuously filled. I mean, it was like, you know, people coming in and out. And I was talking with Pastor West, and I said, this is why we built this building, to make the most of an opportunity to serve and love people. And I just hope that becomes more and more who we are. We just take those opportunities. We can't create them, but we can seize that moment. We can be wise. And it does take a lot of effort when it happens, but that's the kind of effort I like doing, feel good about in the end. I know that all you do too, because I've seen you all at work doing those things. And so it can be those church-wide events. But the other thing that's kind of interesting about opportunities is, you know, like kind of like what Bob and Ted and Dave were talking about, and I'm just thinking of someone in my building right now, and I'm busy during the day. It's coaching season. Ted's a coach at school, and it's like I come in, and I almost put blinders up because I got stuff I got to get done because I'm running out of the building at the end of the day, and it's busy, and here I'm talking faster. I'm sort of thinking about all the things I got to do Tuesday. And Ted knows what I'm talking about. I'm getting tired already. I need to slow down. But I'm in the office, and I'm not one of the teachers that hangs in the office. I sometimes hear about those, and they should probably do more of their job than hanging in the office. But I was in the office, and all of a sudden, someone brought up this great movie, God Is Not Dead. Well, bingo, the things go off in my head. Now, to be fair, I did see the movie. It's not one of my favorite movies. I know some people are really blessed by it. Well, this person in the office was really blessed by it, so I see here's an opportunity. So I just quickly talk to him a little bit and find out he's looking for some good movies, and he's talking to me. Who's organized some movie nights at church? You know, it's like, you know, here, I ought to know something here, right? So I shared with him some of the movies I really did like, and I shared with him one of my favorite animated movies, the Jonah movie by the VeggieTales. Gave it to him, his, you know.
You can branch out on this guy.
What did I just say? The fish. I'm missing something here. So I share with him that movie from VeggieTales and takes home his daughter. And lo and behold, guess what? Barbara's been the teacher of his daughter. And I'm thinking, okay, here's more opportunity. And then I gave him a comedy DVD that I thought he might like. And I'm thinking, boy, we got, you know, Stephanie and Donna organized this Harvest Festival come up later in October. I said, boy, here's a good person to invite. See, I'm saying it's opportunities. I'm not making these up, but we got to be wise. We got to make the opportunity. And Debbie, I'm seeing Debbie here kind of, you know, I was thinking up here, you know, chocolate chip cookies, you know. If I go to give them to give someone, they probably won't make it there. But I go, it's opportunities. It's just, we can't make them up. We just have to be wise, seize those moments. And, you know, in my room, you know, it's tough being in the public with being a Christian. I have a lot of quotes on my walls. But the big rule in my room is because it's actually shared in health class. is the golden rule. And so my main rule is treat others the way you want to be treated. I feel like I get to share scripture without them even knowing it. And I have a thing, as Ted even knows, because one time I share with my tennis teams these things called tennis values. And all the values are scriptures, from scripture. And I don't share the scripture, but I share the values. And I know there's that tension, you know, can you divorce the value from the one who the value is about? And I get that. But Ted comes walking by the tennis courts with his football team. You know, I'm with my girls' tennis team. They were huge. They were almost all as tall as Ted. They were. I don't know what they feed him up in Saugerties, but they were huge. And he shouts out to my girls, what's the third tennis value? And I, what's funny is I didn't know what he was talking about. But one of my girls shouts it out. And I go, whoa, whew, saved. So it's never give up was the value. But, right? Remember that, Ted? Yes, he did. So it's amazing how, you know, like there's that scripture that Jesus said, a parable about being wise as serpents and finding the way to bring Christ into your situation. That's what I think being wise is about. And it's hard. I don't know how to do it all. And I stumble and fall. Even, you know, some of these things here. You know, I kind of take comfort that Paul had to write this to the Ephesian church. He didn't write it to the Ephesian culture. And I struggle with a lot of the sins that are mentioned here. And So I'm not there yet. But I know that when I focus on the right things, the opportunities, I tend to avoid the other stuff.
And to think, I thought these guys might not say anything. Now, am I right? Does that clock correct? Is it actually after 10:45 already? Okay. Let's see if we can wrap this up a little. You guys have been great. So, one thing, you've described a variety of ways in which opportunities come. So there's the type of opportunities that come in a programmatic kind of way. There's a ministry happening at Grace Church, the Harvest Carnival. Here's an opportunity for you to consider how you might be involved. There's opportunities that come up when you realize that because something is going on, there's a short-term opportunity to jump in and in some way support a larger ministry that's happening. But one of the key things you guys have been describing are those things that we might call the divine appointments, where something happens in a moment, and that's where we most need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, when I was younger, and people would talk about the Holy Spirit said to me, I didn't know what that was going to be like. You know, I thought that it was something that you'd find an example of in the Bible, where the voice of God now says to you, Stephen, here is an opportunity that I'm bringing before you. But have you guys noticed that the way the Holy Spirit really seems to work is sometimes more like a swat across the back of the head? You know what I mean by that? Sometimes we're looking at a situation, and there clearly is an opportunity to do something, but we're just not seeing it. And it's as if the Holy Spirit just goes, hey! I had a situation one time. I was on a sales call, and I walked in the garage of this building, and I these occasions where you open up a door, and you walk into a place, and you almost instantly walk into something, and you're kind of like, ugh! Well, I walked into the end of what was like this big web of steel frame rails. Rusty, mangled cross members in between. And I looked down at the other end, and there was my friend, my customer, standing there with an oxyacetylene torch and a sledgehammer. And he said, hey, Steve. And I said, hey, Lee, what's this? He said, it's a dump trailer. I said, no, it isn't. It's a mangled web of steel framing. He goes, no. He said, it's the frame of the dump trailer. He said, the chassis is over there in that bay. The body's outside in the yard. I said, what are you doing? He said, I can't buy a new one. He said, so I'm making a new one. And he went on to describe to me all the work that he was doing on this trailer. And he and I got talking about business and, you know, tire needs and things like that. And then we got talking about the way life was. And he was describing to me that he was disgusted with what he sees in the world around him and how frustrated he was by it. And I felt one of those swats in the back of the head, and I just said, Lee, do you have any religious beliefs? And he said, no. He said, I used to believe in God. He said, but when I look at the world around me now, he said, I can't imagine that there's a God anywhere involved with this. And I kind of nodded like, yeah. And I thought of that old story that Corrie Ten Boom used. My mom, I'd heard use it several times in talking to people about how when we look at a tapestry, we're looking at the top of the tapestry, which looks very organized and beautiful and carefully structured. But if you turn that tapestry over, all you see is a mangled web of loose threads. And I thought of that example. And you ever want to duck a Holy Spirit appointment? I said, oh, this guy, you know, he owns a fleet of dump trucks. He's a mechanic. He's not going to want to hear an illustration about a tapestry. And then I really felt a smack in the back of the head as if the Holy Spirit was saying, the dump trailer, the dump trailer. And I said, Lee, did you know that to this trailer, you're God? And he was holding the torch and the sledgehammer, and he grinned. And he said, yeah, I guess I kind of am. And I said, well, there's that. I said, but there's more than that. I said, the main thing is when I walked in that door, and most other people who would walk in that door wouldn't know what they were looking at. You understand what you're looking at. You understand that this dump trailer has gone through a hard life of abuse, which you didn't actually have anything to do with, but you're standing here now, and you're setting out to make it new again. You're setting out to fix it. You understand where it's all headed. Someone else would look at this and just see a pile of rusted, bent steel. You understand what it's going to look like when it's done. And I said, and God understands what's going on in the world. He's not the one causing rust. He's not the one causing steel to be bent and mangled. But he understands what's happening, and he's seeking to make it right. Well, that day, Lee didn't make a profession of faith, but it was just one of those occasions where the Holy Spirit said, the opportunity is to share your faith with this man in a way that he'll understand. And I can't even begin to attest to how many times I've missed that opportunity. I'm sure those opportunities are going on around us all the time. And we have a responsibility to be very careful about how we live, to not be unwise, but to be wise, making the most of every opportunity that we become aware of, because in fact, we're living in a world that marked the days as evil. We've kept you too long. Let me close in a word of prayer, and then we'll have our closing hymn and benediction. Father God, we are so thankful for your word, for the richness of your word. You have provided for us the opportunity not only to study your word, but to study your word together, to learn from each other, from life experience. And Lord, we go into a world that's marked by evil. The days could be characterized as evil. And yet, Lord, we go into the world with the Holy Spirit guiding us, and we go into the world knowing that our brothers and sisters in Christ are sharing in many of the same opportunities, being confronted with occasions in which we have those opportunities to share the love of Jesus Christ. I pray that you would empower us to that end. And we thank you for this opportunity and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.